Got to give me a countdown. In honor of Shiny, our guest, we're going to do your top five favorite pizza toppings.
Hamburger, ham, mushrooms, extra cheese, and pepperonis. Leg out.
Trophy hoarder show where you won't get bored. Honestly, I can't believe it made it past episode 4. But with the help of everybody at PG, Tynosaurus Rex, Donny D. Oh my god, we done killed Tricky. We some bastards, we some bastards. Cool, we just being nuts, no fuss. He be back in the past, first class. And again, let me think about it. Meanwhile, thanks to the crowd, but listen to the show. Yo, we still on top, don't care a long way. Long way. Well, kind of soda, let's just say the SG paved the way. SG paved the way.
Donnie, you are speaking my language. Welcome, everyone, back to Trophy Horse, the brand new Trophy Horse, episode 1. That's right. No more Tricky. Everyone, rejoice. Donnie, I know you're happy about that.
You know, actually, I'm kind of, I'm happy. Yeah.
We're just messing with you, Tricky. All right. Welcome, everyone, to Trophy Horse, episode 81. I am your host, Alex, and with me, as always, is my main man, Donnie. Donnie, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'll be graduating school next week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, I'll be done with school next week. We don't actually do the graduation until October.
I know you're going to that graduation, right? You going to walk?
Yeah.
See? Yep. See, there you go. See, I didn't walk when I graduated from college. And you know what? I don't even care, but you need to walk.
But I have to anyway, because out of nowhere, I didn't even know I was liked this much, but they not secretly nominated me to speak.
Really?
Yeah, so I have to go there anyway.
Donnie, give us a little preview here on Trophy Horse. What are you going to talk about?
Dude, I am stuck on Sentence 2. I don't even know. And it has to be turned in.
Is it about the Vanquished Platinum? Is that why you're stuck on Sentence 2?
No, we're going to get to that later on.
Oh, there's more shit on the Vanquished Platinum?
When we get to what are we playing?
All right. Well, Tricky is not here this week, so we brought on two friends of the show, two guys who have volunteered to help us out before, and we are certainly glad to have them. One guy you've heard on here before, actually recently, he is our good friend NM Rain. Rain, how you doing?
What's the business? Just chilling here in New Mexico, doing my thing.
Let me ask you a question. This time of the year, what's the temperature like in New Mexico?
I think today the temperature was a cool 102 degrees.
Wow. But that's a dry heat, and that makes a big difference.
It is a dry heat, and that makes all the difference in the world. People don't understand that. I mean, I would take a dry heat. I mean, 102 degrees, I can go outside and spend a decent amount of time without dying. About this time last year, I went to Dallas to go watch a preseason NFL game. And there we got out of the football stadium around 1:30 in the morning, and it was still 110 degrees outside at 1:30 in the morning, which was ridiculous. Here in New Mexico, once the sun goes down, the temperature drops really fast. I mean, the night's usually around 80 degrees or so, you know, so you're losing like 20 degrees as soon as the sun drops. So there's a lot worse places to be than the desert.
Oh yeah, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I know all about heat and humidity because it's usually about 90 to 100 here every day with humidity. So the air is muggy and you're sweaty and it's just bad. And next week the temperatures are going to be in the 80s, and it's sad that I'm like, oh thank God the 80s. Oh.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I love the desert. I really do. I mean, 110 degrees is doable in the desert without the humidity. I can't stand humidity. So I do not envy you one bit.
Yeah, I understand humidity. That's the problem with our heat in Detroit, Michigan. Like, I go to Mississippi quite often. I got family there, and they get hotter than Detroit, and I can tolerate it. You know, I can go outside without having an oxygen tank because you can't breathe when you go outside in Michigan's heat.
Damn.
The humidity is, like, crazy.
Jeez. Oh. Well, we also have, on top of NM Rain, we also have another guest. He is, if you're on Twitter, you probably know him. It's our friend, Shiny Milburns. What's up, Shiny?
Hello, hello. All your pineapples will possess you.
Why do you have to be on top?
You know, Shiny, I don't really know if I want pineapples possessing me. We actually, we actually were going to start the show, and Shiny, is that your favorite type of pizza that you were eating before the show?
Next to pineapple, with pineapple, bacon and pineapple pizza, yeah, it will. It's the second best.
So, am I to assume that you eat pineapple on everything?
Almost everything. Not pineapples.
I too under pineapples on pineapples. He's got pineapples on pineapples on pineapples. I like pineapples. Pineapple's one of my favorite fruits. So I'm with Shiny on this.
High five.
Oh yeah, and I work for Whole Foods at the produce section of my store, and I know all about pineapples. I work with pineapples all day, and I gotta say, they're pretty delicious. So high five to you, Shiny. We all nothing but love for pineapples here. But before we show too much love to pineapples, let's get into our trophy counts. Donnie, you seem like a good place to start since you're always the leader of the pack. What's your trophy count looking like this week?
Level 21 still. Trophy count is 3842. Plaque count is 50.
Now, is there a story to go along with your trophy count this week?
Yes. The story is I finally did not still have get the Vanquish trophy. Plat.
that is gonna haunt you. We're gonna be doing episode 150 of Trophy Wars, and that Vanquish Platinum's still not gonna be had. But you know what, Donnie? Don't feel bad about it, because it's that thing is impossible. You have to be really good. Like, I think 5%
good does not count at all.
You got to be magical.
It's all luck based. Every last
you got to be Merlin to get that thing.
You have to be, you need about, let me see, I'm going to say about 50 Mario stars to be Vanquished.
50, like the 50 of the invincibility stars? Just yes. One after the other? Just pop out of a pit?
Just keep popping
them out of a Pez dispenser?
But my 50th plat is the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh yeah? How did that end up for you?
It's time consuming, but it's not as time consuming as you would think, but it is very time consuming. I was mad because it took me it's two attempts to get it, because you have to beat it on
different difficulties.
Well, it was two for me, because I didn't know that the difficulties stack when you beat it, but you can go through it on the hard mode, which when I went through it, it was not a change other than you might take like one less hit than you did in normal to die.
Those kind of games seem like they always have annoying collectibles that you got to get for like a trophy. Now,
Spider-Man, the most annoying collectibles so far, that's going to come later into the show too, but so far it's the most annoying, because you got to collect 500 comics.
See, that was actually one thing that they did in the original Spider-Man game on PlayStation, Spider-Man. You collected comics. Now, you didn't have to collect 500. It wasn't for a trophy. But for me, I like collecting the comics and seeing just the covers and just the artwork of itself. But when you got to collect 500 of those things, I guess it can get pretty annoying.
It's actually more. That's just in the free roam part. It's 500 you have to collect. When you actually get to the actual stage level where you're supposed to be, like the main objective, it's like 200 more, something like that. So 700 total, I think. And another annoying thing in that game, where you have to take pictures of every villain. That means in the middle of your fight, whip out a camera while he's charging after you and hope to get the perfect shot in order for it to count.
I imagine the perfect shot is of Rhino goring you as you take that picture.
Yes, it is, actually. He's charging me, and he gave me the green light to snap it like right when he's about to stick the horn right in the lens.
All right, well, let's go to Shiny next. Shiny, what's your trophy count?
1,194. I'm level 12, and the platinum count of 0.
And did you say you were close to a platinum?
No, I'm close to level 13. Without platinum.
What's stopping you? Are there any games you're close to a platinum in?
In Lego Rock Band, but there is like some tough ones.
You need to get The Walking Dead, because that game is great and it's an easy platinum.
Yeah, I'm playing that right now, It's gonna be like my first platinum.
You are on your way, Shiny.
That's all you do is just play the game.
That is like the longest plat of ever.
Net to wait for it.
Yeah, net to the Vanquish, because that plat is like 5 months in the making.
But it's so. But The Walking Dead is so good, so you don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hit up NM Rain. Rain, what's your trophy count?
I'm currently sitting at a level 13. My trophy count is 1,295. I have 12 platinums, which I believe is one more than the last time I was on the show. I picked up the Borderlands platinum. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, I am level 18, trophy count of 2,835, and platinum of 29. So I still have the same platinums, but I've just added a few trophies. So, all right, guys, trophy count done. Let's go to a little bit of what we're playing. Let's start off with Rain. Rain, what's up with you?
Well, after I beat Borderlands, I started playing Assassin's Creed, the first one. Just did a speed run through it just to get the story. I'd never ever played any of the series. Once that was over, I decided that with school about to start for me in a week, I wanted to get one more platinum under my belt before school started, and that took over my life. So I kind of took a vote on Twitter whether I should roll right straight into Assassin's Creed 2 or go after the platinum for Uncharted 2, because they're both about the same difficulty and take about the same amount of time to do. Assassin's Creed 2 won out in the vote, so I'm currently about halfway through my Assassin's Creed 2 run. It was pretty awesome, though. The thing that I noticed the most about it was as I was... I finished up Assassin's Creed 1 and rolled straight into Assassin's Creed 2. Like, all the improvements and differences between the two games were like a huge slap in the face. It was pretty amazing. Probably a little bit different than somebody who'd played the first game and then waited until the second game came out. You know, it's not as fresh in your mind.
Yeah, it's huge significance in the smoothness of how he can navigate.
Well, it's also that Assassin's Creed was a lot of good ideas, but not a very fun game. And then you get Assassin's Creed 2, where they made so many changes, and it's actually a much, much better game, so it's a lot more fun to play. And you also don't have to collect flags for absolutely nothing. Well, you don't have to collect the flags, but for some of us, there's that itch to go and get that collectible when you see it. So, but, I mean, Assassin's Creed was just a much better game overall.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 is shaping out to be a very awesome game. Also, on my Vita, I've been playing Mortal Kombat, busting through the story mode, which I'm actually enjoying a lot. It's really compelling. I think they did a really good job on the story mode on that game.
This story in Mortal Kombat is like by far the best story in any Mortal Kombat game. I have to say that. I like it a lot.
That covers what I've been playing.
All right. Well, let's get to Shiny next. Shiny, in between your pineapple pizzas, what have you been playing?
As you're saying, the game with like the best story, I believe, I was playing a while ago, is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Here we go, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. Now,
or die trying.
Just so it gets on the show, Shiny. How would you rate 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, and how does it compare to other games, other notable games this generation?
I give it a 12 out of 10 pineapples, and compared to other games, it blows it out of the water. Like it came out 2009. It's game of the year. Better than Uncharted 2 and some other games that came out.
Dude, you know how many people stop following you now?
That would be under the radar.
We are going to get emails like crazy. Tricky, it's a good thing Tricky isn't here. He'd be flipping the hell out.
Think of it. Well, let me ask you. He does a concert in the Middle East, and then they said he didn't get paid cash. So a guy gives him a sacred crystal skull, and then gangs... in the Middle East, which they don't call them terrorists, they call them gangs.
They got gangs in the Middle East?
Steals it from him. And then he gets it back.
What color bandanas are the gangs wearing?
Bandana color bandanas.
Banana bandana color? Is that
banana color?
Is that the Chiquita gang? Now, let me ask you a question, Shiny, because I know that 50 Cent Blood on the Sand got a lot of hate from people. They basically said it was a really bad game. What do you like so much about it?
No, it wasn't a bad game. It was surprising because it was actually good compared to Bulletproof, which is a piece of crap.
Maybe your standards or your expectations were low enough going into it that you were actually pleasantly surprised
by it. No. I was from playing Twisted Metal 3, and then you play that, and it's the best game ever.
Well, if you play the game where I hit myself in the ball sack with a hammer, and then you go play 50 Cent Blood in the Sand, of course it's going to look better. Now, you 50 Cent Bullet, was that Bulletproof? Was that another 50 Cent game?
Yeah, that was the crappy
you
one.
You seem to have quite an infatuation with 50 Cent games there, Shiny.
Without them...
Or Die Trying.
Of art towards game wouldn't be called art without it being in the gaming timeline. Think of it.
I don't know. I think we could do without 50 Cent games in our timelines.
No. Yes. It blows like compare like, oh, Flower, it's an art game. This is in Sen. It shows towards of how much bad how bad 50 wants his skull.
Well, yeah, he didn't get paid for his concert. That's his only form of payment. Shoot, I'd be going after it too. Yeah. All that work for nothing.
And then as co-partner, you have to be Tony Yayo. If you don't, the game is just bland.
A co-op partner. Is it like Army of Two or what?
Think of it.
My like ignorance. I've never even like seen Lloyd anything Banks. About this.
You know
game.
What? No Lloyd Banks, no deal for me. Donnie, what have you been playing? Thank you for that. That's the new Amazon. What have you been playing, Donnie?
Oh, man. Well, I've been playing some Vanquish, which I just decided, you know what? I'm saying it now, which I doubt if I do it because I can't stand this again to defeat me, but I just said forget it. I want to just throw Vanquish out in the garbage bag because I really want it.
No, but see, Vanquish is still a really good game. It's just those challengers are so incredibly hard.
It is a very good game. Very good game. It's just the challenges. Like, I could make it to round 3 with ease. 4 gives me, like, such a challenge. And then when round 5 arrives and challenge 6, it's like, dude, are you serious? This is, like, unbelievably, like, why did you make this game? Even if the game, it makes you ignore how good the game is to just want to just throw it away. That's how terrible how bad the challenge is.
I just try to look at those tactical challenges as a separate part of the game, just kind of try to block them out of my memory.
But when you play it as much as I have and trying after that one trophy, that one challenge I have to finish, when you play it as much as I have, it makes you think about the whole entire game. It's like, dude, this game is crap. But it's not really, people. It's a good game, but it's just that. And I'm also playing Metal Gear 4 again since I tweeted and people didn't believe me about the patch coming out Monday where it did, and I've been playing it since.
I can vouch for him because every time I'm on PSN, it seems like I look at Donnie's PSN ID and he's playing Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots. we'll get into that later. But to finish up, a little bit of what I've been playing. Still nothing new. Pretty much the same thing I was playing on the last show. I did finish up getting all the trophies in Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. What do you think about that, Donnie? I didn't even need your help. I did it all by myself.
What happened, man? Because I've been on there. Every time I get online, you're not online.
What are you talking? I was online for like an hour the other day, and I get this message that you're signing off. I get this message that you're signing off. Oh, now you're on. Donnie, I've been on for an hour and a half. What are you doing?
But you supposed to have been on like 3 days before that, man. I've been waiting 3 days before that. I'm like, what? All right.
You know what? If you still need help getting some trophies, I will help you out. All right, we'll figure out a good day to do that. Sometimes
well, we don't have to. Maybe. Well, we don't have to. Now that you got what you had to get, I was just trying to help you out. I don't really care about getting all the trophies in Lara Croft.
I appreciate that, Donnie. I appreciate that you offering to help me. And I've also been playing some Rock Band 2. I bought some new songs. I've spent more money on downloadable content for that game than any other game. It has to be at least like $150, which amazes me because I don't pay for much DLC. And I've gone back and I bought a few new songs. But the big switch for me recently has been I always played Rock Band and Guitar Hero on the normal settings, the medium settings, because I just liked hearing the music. I didn't really care about the challenge much. And lately I've been stepping up my game and I've been playing on hard and it's a big step for me after playing, you know, all through college and, you know, the years after that playing those games on medium. I'm now bumping up to hard and I'm actually able to play a lot of the songs on that setting, getting down to the challenging rung of Rock Band 2. So that's kind of added a new layer of enjoyment to that game. It's kind of been refreshing to let me go back to Rock Band 2, so I'm enjoying that right now. Donnie, why are you laughing?
You've been rocking hard?
I have been rocking like a motherfucker. Detroit Rock City, Donnie. What do you think about that?
Cool. That's on the game?
Yeah. You listen to Kiss?
No.
But you heard that song, obviously.
Yeah, I heard of it.
All right, guys, now that we've gone...
Wait. I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to just give this warning to people because I also gave this game a try. Expendables 2, oh my freaking goodness, what the heck did they waste their money on?
I cannot believe you paid for that.
No, I didn't pay. I said I paid a demo.
Donnie don't pay.
Yeah, you know this. What are you talking about,
Donnie,
man?
I was about to have a heart attack there. I thought my world was about to turn upside down. Donnie refuses to pay for games, and then all of a sudden he just ups and buys the Expendables 2.
Oh, people, when you listen to this show, please stay away from that game. The voice acting, the first voice character that came up was Sylvester, and that voice actor, whoever it is, he don't need to get another job voice acting.
Yeah, when I saw that part, that was part of the PSN, like PSN Play, they've got Papo and Yo, and they got Sound Shapes, and then it's like, oh, at Expendables 2, it's like, what the hell is that doing in there? Who deserves to get fired for that snafu?
Yes, as Shiny just pointed out, I haven't played Bloods and Sand yet. Well, I played like a little bit of it, but I would have to say from the little bit I played, yeah, it's killing Expendables 2.
There you go. Right. Well, warning out of the way, everyone stay the fuck away from the Expendables 2. All right. So jumping into our topics now, Donnie has a special topic, a surprise topic that he just added about an hour ago to the to the list here, to our agenda. Donnie, you just recently found out about some functionality on Skype that you're kind of confused about. What's up?
Yeah, I'm talking. Well, I sent you a message in Skype. You know, I knew that you wasn't online, but I sent it to you anyway. So when you get online, you read and respond to me. So when I sent it to you, you messaged me back, and I'm like. So we talking and talking. I'm like, dude, my Skype say that you offline.
I just thought you had some creepy superpower where you could see through my little trickery there.
Yeah, I don't understand it because when you said, I said Skype doesn't say that you online, and you said, yeah, I'm online, I'm invisible.
Yeah, for those of you who don't, yeah, I've got superpowers. I just need a cape now. No, for those of you who don't use Skype much, there are a bunch of different settings you can use. Like for instance, like you would use with. Instant Messenger, where you have like an away setting, an I'm online setting, a do not disturb, and then there's an invisible and offline. And the invisible setting makes it appear that you're offline, but you're really online, and you can still message people, but other people really, you know, don't know that you're online, so they don't know to message you. And Donnie didn't understand why I would do this, and I'm like, okay, well, first of all, you know, maybe you're online and you're busy, and you don't really want people to bother you. But you still want the ability to talk to other people, so you'll set yourself to invisible. Like for now, right now, while we're editing the podcast, or while we're recording the podcast, I don't want people to IM me and make any kind of sounds or distract me, so I've got my thing set to invisible, so I can still be online and talk to you guys, but yet no one can talk to me.
So why won't you just say, don't disturb?
Because it's easier this way. It's the safe way, Donnie.
How about you could just say, you can still message people anytime you feel like, whether they send you a message or not. And if you are busy or eating or doing any other thing, you can just say in your, like your little speech thing or topic up under your name saying, I'm eating, don't disturb me.
Stay the fuck away, girl.
Exactly. How about just don't come online or just say.
Well, I have to be online to record this show, Donnie. No,
like,
but I mean, it's
disturb.
You know what? It's the thing. It's a setting that the people of Skype threw in there. You know, they got do not disturb. They got everything. So I just use it. You know,
it's Donnie. Funny because when I think about it, it's like Fantastic Four. What the heck does Invisible Girl think she's doing, floating around in a sit position?
She's looking good in that outfit. That's what she's doing.
No, I'm saying though, in an invisible plane. Like, what's the whole point? I know you're flying, but I kind of if I put two and two together. Whatever you're flying in, it has to be invisible.
Donnie, so let me ask you a question. Would you rather fly in a plane or an invisible plane?
Well, I would rather...
You know the answer to that, don't you?
Yes. I would rather fly in a plane because if something coming towards me, they would know to move out the way because this is this big object coming at me. They don't need to.
Yeah, he's kind of got a point there.
You are a terrible
if
superhero.
If you're an invisible plane, you're just one little spot on the horizon, and that big ass jet is gonna run into your ass because they don't see your little spot. If Donnie, you're in a big old jumbo jet, they're gonna see you.
Donnie, you are a terrible superhero.
I'm just saying, like, even if they was to see you floating there, they're gonna come to, you know, view like what the heck is going on here and run into the freaking plane to see what's going on because the plane is invisible. I don't understand that. What, just say you don't disturb. Just have it there. Don't disturb me.
All right. Well, Donnie, if you have a problem with the way Skype does things, write a letter. Write an angry letter to the people and send it to Skype. I'll find you the address and I'll shoot it to you. Shoot it to you if you want. But all right, so that's Donnie's little special topic. So we're gonna get into our game topics here for the PS3. The first big topic is Papo and Yo. As we mentioned earlier, it's part of the PSN Play promotion going on the PlayStation Network right now. And it's the final game, I believe, of the promotion. Soundshapes came out this week, and Papo and Yo closes out this next Tuesday. It's going to be $14.99, and PlayStation Plus subscribers can get it for $11.99. If you pre-order it, then you'll get a special theme for free that comes with the game. And I don't know if you – have you guys seen much of Papo and Yo? I got to play a little bit of E3, but I want to know if you guys have seen much of it. Any video or seen any gameplay?
I saw some still shots.
I seen early footage of it of last year at E3, which didn't look as good as like now the current build. But I'm really interested in it, though.
Yeah, the cool thing about the game is that its foundation is based in real life. The creative director, Vander Caballero, he grew up with an abusive father. He was basically afraid of his father, and at the core of the game is this relationship between this boy, Quico, and this creature named Monster. He's actually a big monster with horns. And the game is a puzzle platformer, and you'll be going to these different kind of slum areas. They're called favelas, I think. And you have to cooperate with the monster to kind of manipulate the environment and make your way through these environmental puzzles to get to the exit and progress through the game. But occasionally, it's, you know, because he grew up with – the game is kind of a metaphor for his relationship with his father. The creature will become enraged and become angry and uncontrollable, like, you know, sometimes like his father was when he was younger. And you'll have to find a way to work around that. So sometimes he'll play nice, and then other times the monster will just be enraged. And the game's got a really cool art style. It's one of those games that you can only get, I think, on a downloadable console service right now, where it's kind of a very different concept. It's got a lot of emotion behind it. You just wouldn't see this kind of game succeed at retail. I'm really looking forward to play it. What I've played so far of it, there's some issues with like collision detection and the platforming, but it's a really cool game, and it's really different. It really sticks out. So, Donnie, Rain, you guys have any thoughts other than that?
That sounds deep. I mean, it kind of reminds me when you're telling the story a lot of like the Braid story, where it's, you know, there's a lot more to it than what's on the surface. And I think that's really interesting.
Everyone, go watch the Papo and Yo launch trailer, because what they do is they get these actors, and there's this little boy running around his house just kind of slinking around because his father just got home and his father starts drinking and he becomes angry and abusive, and the boy's hiding from his father. And throughout the house, he'll find these little gateways that lead him into the game where they show after that gameplay footage. And then they'll come back out and they'll show the boy around the house again trying to avoid his father. And it's just really cool the way they mix the live action stuff with the video game footage, because, you know, you can read about a game and the concept of a game on 1,000 blogs, but you don't really get that human element. You don't get that weight and that emotionality of actually seeing a boy, whether it's acting or not, hiding from his father, and just the look on his face, this human look of fear on his face. So that game comes out Tuesday. You get a discount again if you're a PSN Plus member, and it just looks like a really cool game. So, guys, I definitely think you should check it out and just at least look at video, because I left E3 very impressed with it. It's one of my favorite games from E3. So
definitely have to check it out.
Yeah. All right, next topic is PlayStation Collections. And we all know, we've talked about it before, there is going to be, of course, the Ratchet & Clank Collection, which comes out with the first three Ratchet & Clank games for the PS2, Ratchet & Clank, Up Your Arsenal, and Going Commando, which also, as Donnie and I know and are excited about, comes with the demo for Sly Cooper Thieves in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sony has announced that on August 28th, they're going to be releasing two more PlayStation collections alongside the Ratchet & Clank collection, and these are the God of War Saga and the Infamous collection. Now, the cool thing about these is not only do you have all the games on one disc, but it's each one is $29.99. You know, $30 for all these games, that's a pretty good deal.
Let me make a correction, though.
Yeah.
They said the God of War Saga will cost $39.99.
Oh, it is?
It said starting at, so Infamous, I figure it would be 30, and God of War would be 40.
All right, good catch, Shiny, there. Yeah, because God of War has got a lot of stuff packed in there. You get God of War, God of War 2, God of War 3, the God of War Origins Collection, which is the two PSP games. You get bonus content and a free voucher for a month of PlayStation Plus. And with the Infamous Collection, you get Infamous, Infamous 2, Infamous Festival of Blood, which is that standalone vampire kind of thing that they released on PSN last year, which is still selling, it seems, pretty well on PSN. So it's got to be pretty fun, or at least, you know, I've gotten a lot of good feedback about that. So these things are going to be packed with a lot of stuff. You know, if you haven't played any of these games, definitely go pick them up. Or, you know, if you just want to get rid of, like, you know, your three discs with God of War 1, 2, and 3, if you just want one disc with all these games on it, go pick them up. They come out on August 28th, and they, as Shiny said, they start at $30. So, I mean, you can't beat that. You can't find a better deal these days as far as, you know, money for your bang.
The God of War is going to be one disc?
Yeah, it should. I believe so, yes.
They'll all fit on one Blu-ray.
You think that's enough? I know Blu-ray holds a lot of power, but do you think that's enough for just the Station 3?
Apparently, because they don't say anything. I've not read anything where they say it's going to be more than one disc. And that's the one thing that PlayStation has always trumpeted over Xbox with some of those multi-platform games, is that you might have to switch discs during your Xbox game, but with the PlayStation, we have these big capacity discs, the Blu-rays, which you can fit all these different types of games on there.
The God of War Saga has three on it as well?
There's five games, actually.
Yeah, okay, we'll see, because that's the only actual PlayStation 3 title, and I imagine God of War 3 probably didn't come close to filling up a Blu-ray. The rest of them, I mean, each of the PSP games are only about a gig a piece, and I imagine the PS2 games weren't that huge either, so I don't see it being a stretch that all five games would fit on one Blu-ray disc. That just seems kind of crazy that they came out with that God of War Saga so quick after they had already released the other two collections.
Yeah, they didn't have to do much work. They just, all right, honey, just take this disc and... You know, compress it with this other disc.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
glue them together.
Yeah, we don't have to do any work for the other one. Just put them together.
Well, I mean, what do you guys think about these collections? Because the God of War Saga is kind of like those collections are becoming like 300 was, where every month it seemed like they were coming out with a new edition of 300 the movie. What do you guys think of this? Because they're basically reselling us all these games. It's an easy way for them to make money. Do you guys think this is? You know, I mean, do you guys like this, or do you see anything wrong with it?
I was just say I like the HD collections, the concept behind them, because when I had a PS2, I never got to play the God of War games. So I got the God of War collection, played through the first two games. I picked up the Ico and Shadow of Colossus collection because I never got a chance to play those games before. So it's nice for me to be able to go back and play those old games that were such awesomely great games, you know, and I'm sorry for missing out on them the first time, but I do get a chance to go at play them with the updated graphics, with trophy support, and all that stuff. So, I mean, when it comes to the HD collections, I'm all for them. I think it's a great idea. The God of War one seems like it's a little bit too soon to be throwing out, you know, another collection, just because it seems like they've been back to back to back. But on the whole, the HD collections, I think, are a good thing.
All right, Donnie, we'll let you kind of go on a little rant here, because I know... Mm-mm. That you don't like these. We'll get you. Shiny, what were you going to say?
I think for the God of War one, though, it seems a smart decision if you didn't play all of them at all, because since the new one's coming next year. So you get all of it in one package before you get ready for it.
Yeah, that's definitely...
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's definitely a good point, because it's an easy way for them to not only make more money, but to drum up hype as well, to say, hey, remember why you love God of War? Well, you know... The new game's coming out. Why don't you play these again? Now, Donnie, go ahead. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel good. It's cool. I was saying to his Ico collection. I don't think that's a good game, but God of War collection. I kind of feel what Rain is talking about. Like, I think is like, you just came out with one. I do understand, you know, having them all together with one disc, but dude, just, you have all five games on the PlayStation already. Now you just, like you said earlier, you just put them all on one disc now.
Yeah, because I was interested to hear what you were thinking, Donnie, because you've said before that, you know, why keep repackaging these games and you know, and putting on the consoles again when you could be making new games? So that's what I was wondering.
With that too, like, me personally, I don't, we can already see another God of War collection coming out, like, probably 6 months after the other one comes out.
I do want to say that there's a really good chance that these games don't take very long to put on these discs. So it's not like the same thing as, you know, making an entirely new game. Yeah, they gotta outfit them for trophies and you know, 1080p and all that stuff. But it's not gonna take as long as a full new game like, say, God of War Ascension.
Now I'm gonna say this is not enticing at all. A month free of plus. Who cares? So.
Well, Gary, well, Shiny, you brought something up here in the chat, and why don't you bring it up here on the show with the Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes, yeah, they always like bundle them, and the new one comes out, or like when they're close, they put them with all the ones they have left. They have so far, and then when a new one comes out, they repackage them again.
Yeah, I mean,
over and over with the collections.
Yeah, because I mean, these companies want to make money, and. It's, I mean, this isn't exclusive to video games. We see this with movies all the time. You see it with in music too, where they release greatest hits collections and
the best of,
and you keep seeing more and more and more. So this isn't exclusive to video games by any means.
It's been happening.
But they're running out of titles. The first one was the HD collection. The second one was the Origins collection. Now we've got the God of War Saga. I don't know what they're going to call it whenever they get with Ascension too.
The collection of collections.
They're going to call it God of War Saga 2.
The sequel to the saga. Because, I mean, I have no doubt that they'll do that, though. I know that they'll probably take, and after Ascension's been out for a little while, throw it on a disc with the entire God of War collection on one disc, which is rather convenient. But, I mean, geez, give me a break.
Yeah, and people will buy it, probably.
How about God of War Saga plus one?
God of War Universe? There we go. So, am I to assume that nobody here is interested in any of these collections?
I have everything God of War has to offer.
I platinum the first two God of Wars. I have God of War 3 on disc. I don't have the Origins collection, but if I was going to do it, I would just go buy the Origins collection that has the two PSP games on it. I don't see myself trying to unload my, you know, two discs that I have now to get another one.
Since I haven't played most of the God of War games, I'd get it, but I have so much other games to play.
Yeah, he's got 50 Cent Blood in the Sand to finish.
I mean, 5 times again.
Let's be clear about this, listeners. We fully endorse playing God of War over 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. So
yes.
Shiny, if you haven't played the God of War, most of the God of War games, you know, whichever ones you haven't played, if you can jump on this deal, I definitely would. Or, you know, wait till it goes down in price to like $20 or $30 sometime down the road.
No, get it. Get it, boy.
Oh, they'll go on sale, though. If he's got the patience to wait it out, he's waited this long, that collection will go on sale, and it'll be a huge value for dollars.
Not as long as that plus voucher is there. You know how much not going on sale. And yes, I plat all God of War games.
Even number one?
1, 2, 3. Origins.
See, I got 2 and 3. I couldn't do 1. I couldn't do the speed of Jason McDonald.
Dude. I got 1 and 2. My little brother, he had a glitch on one of them. I can't remember what. And so he had to go through and replay it, and he just gave up.
See, that don't sound like a god killer. I'm a true god killer.
I got the plats in 1 and 2, and I haven't started 3 yet, but I intend to.
What?
Three is probably the easiest platinum of all of them to get, I think. Because number one was the hardest, because you had to go through the Challenge of the Gods or whatever it was called. And then the Speed of Jason McDonald, where you had to beat the game in a certain time limit. I hate that kind of stuff. So yeah. I didn't even try, and you know, I'm fine. I've got like 90% of the trophies in God of War. I'm fine with that. But
well, if you don't get the platinum in God of War, you have to start 3, man. It's the conclusion.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna do it. It's on my shelf, but you gotta understand, I got so many games that I need to play. You don't understand.
You don't understand. This is God of War. There's so many other games would have
to play. I still got to play Uncharted 2. I still got to play Uncharted 3. I still got to play Batman Arkham City. I mean, I've got all these games sitting on my shelf that I ain't played yet.
Yeah, you got to play. You know what? You play Arkham City and Uncharted 3, and then you get to the God of War games.
No, I don't think you understand.
No, I think he understands, Donnie.
You don't understand. This is
crazy. Hey, Alex, I don't know if you want a tip on doing that speed run through God of War 1, but I got a way you could do it. Because you should have unlocked the cow costume.
The cow costume, yeah.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier to run through that game.
Really? Is it, like, super strong?
Infinite, I can't remember what the benefit of it was, but I know that helped a lot.
Infinite magic.
Yeah, there you go, infinite magic. But yeah, no, it helped a ton. That's how I did my speed run, wearing the cow costume. Awesome. And that'll get you another platinum.
But see, at the same time, I still got to do the Challenge of the Gods stuff. And I remember that being really hard.
Save that for last.
All right, well.
I'm sorry, I was just laughing at I was thinking about the word batlog. Like, for gamers.
I thought you said batlog. Like Batman's.
It's the Batman special tool.
Batman's itinerary.
I got the batlog.
I got to go to a wedding today. I got to go grocery shopping.
Diary.
I got to go return the books to the library. The batlog.
I forgot grammar. Backlog.
There you go.
Yeah, for gamers, isn't that really just a bucket list?
Not really a bucket list. It's just what you have. Well, kind of, but it's just kind of what you have on hand that you haven't played yet.
Yeah, it's for video gamers, it's a bucket list. This game I'm going to get to before I die. Trust me.
Well, I hope Rain gets to Arkham City and Uncharted 3 before he dies.
Well, I absolutely will. Yeah. That's the thing, though, is I said it before. I don't know if I said it on this podcast, but I've got so many games on my backlog that if the brand new, you know, system dropped today, I could probably afford to wait until the first price drop before I actually bought the system because I've got so many games in my backlog. Not that I would. I'd probably still go out and buy the new system, but I could afford to wait because I've got such a huge backlog. It's kind of embarrassing.
And you know what? That's not such a bad problem to have because you've got a ton of games to play and you don't have to spend any more money for them. So
that's true. And well, see, and then, I mean, I end up picking up all these games when they drop drastically in price. Like, I mean, I usually pay, you know, $15-$20 for games that were $60 when they were new and they're AAA games, you know, but since I've got such a huge backlog, I can wait until they drop down to, you know, like next to nothing. And then I get awesome, you know, value for time spent on the game.
Oh, yeah. I bought the Assassin's Creed games first day, all of them, $60. And now they're at my target for like $20 each. They still even sell the first game. So, yeah, if you wait on that, you can get a good deal. Now, well,
it's a bad thing if you let your Plus membership run out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just got to hope that Tricky gets you another PlayStation Plus subscription. All right, well, Donnie.
You can go buy the Origin Collection and extend it another month.
By a month. All right, now, Donnie.
Yo.
I know you said you've been playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid 4, and how's that going along? How many trophies you got so far in that?
I got, like, 5 or 6 because the trophies don't come easy. Kojima was slick. I mean, like, real slick, because
I thought we all knew that.
No, well, yeah, we all did know that, but I'm talking about especially with the trophies. I don't want to be that guy who be like, oh, man, this game would be great with trophies. I really want trophies and trophies. Then when you get it, you want to complain about it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just like, dude, my thing is, like, it's been such a long time since trophies been out and such a long time since this game. Actually, well, didn't this game come out the same year that trophy patch was patched through the whole system?
I think it was 2 years ago, like this past January and 2 years ago, maybe, that they mandated that trophies, every game had to have trophies. This game,
I believe the trophies, the whole trophy system came out in 08 too, I believe, right?
This whole thing came, Metal Gear Solid 4 came out just a little bit before trophy implementation, and it never got patched in. I bought Metal Gear Solid and Grand Theft Auto 4 at the same time. And I remember I started Grand Theft Auto 4, and then about halfway through my playthrough, they patched in trophies, so I started over from the beginning. So, I mean, it is like a few month window there between when the game was released and when trophies were actually implemented on the PlayStation.
Okay, so let's just say the same time, the birth of trophies is the birth of Metal Gear 4.
Pretty close.
Yeah. So you know, and now it's been 4 years, and people like, and myself including, like, man, there's trophies. We need a trophy system for this. And I get it, and I'm not complaining, but this game has been out so long for these type of trophies.
What do you mean, what type of trophies are you talking
about? Okay, the trophies is, you know, he has his, like, just like every game has his collectibles, where you have to get those trophies. And the collectibles are dramatic. Like, wow, seriously. Like, the only way I could see myself getting the plat for this game was I already beat the game 14 times. It keeps count on how many times you beat it, and I was in the middle of my 15th time playing it when I started playing it again. And you have to beat the game probably about 6 to 8 more times just to get the plat.
So that was my next question. I'm assuming that you're not even going to try to get this platinum, right? Or is this one of these that you'll extend out and you'll maybe get it like a year or so down the road?
No, you're assuming wrong.
What? So are you going to go for it?
Yeah, I'm going for the plat. Well, put it like this. I'm going for the one major trophy right now.
The big boss trophy.
And I was about to say that. And he's tricked us. Well, he tricked me because I'm expecting a big boss trophy, which there isn't a big boss trophy. But for a lot of these collectibles, you have to beat it on big boss mode in order to get the selected collectible for that trophy. So there isn't a big boss trophy, but you have to play it on big boss anyway.
You know, Donnie, you played through Lollipop Chainsaw 3 times to get a platinum trophy. I mean, why not play through Metal Gear Solid 20 times to get a platinum trophy?
How many times is not the case? You know, that's not the case. It's Metal Gear. But my thing is, it's like, it's been out for so long, you shouldn't put trophies like that to worry, like, a minimum of at least 6 to 8 more times in order to get a game that's been out for 4 years.
All right. Well, Donnie's had his little diatribe there on Metal Gear Solid 4 trophies. Rain, Shiny, have either of you played much of Metal Gear Solid 4?
No, not yet. I'm still through the collection.
Well, see, are you working your way through the collection, and then are you going to pick up Metal Gear Solid 4?
Probably, maybe.
It ain't no probably. Do it. Do it.
Well, how far are you in the HD collection, Shiny? Where did you start, and how far have you gotten?
I started 7 months ago, and barely put it in like a month and a little bit.
which game did you start with?
2.
Okay, so you're doing.
What the heck, man?
Well, see, Tricky and Donnie are going to argue about this because Donnie's going to tell you to go timeline. I'm assuming.
No, I'm not. I was just joking when I said that. I'm all for Tricky. In this case, you gotta go with 1, 2, 3, 4. You have to, man. You have to. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, now, where does Peace Walker fit in there? Does that after 3?
All that stuff you play, the games that came out after 3 and 4, you play that after you beat 4. Even though, because if you go a timeline, like you say, it's not when you get to 4. That same dramatic feel that you and sympathy that you feel for Snake, it's not going to be the same. You have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Portable Ops and Portable Ops 2, or I think it is.
Plus,
and Peace Walker. Any order of those three, but 1, 2, 3, 4, you have to go in that order.
What about you, Rain? Have you played any Guns of the Patriots?
Yeah, I played it. It was one of the first games that I got on the PS3. It's actually one of the first games I beat on the PS3. I still have it, and I plan on going back and playing it. I recently started the Metal Gear Solid saga from the beginning. I played Metal Gear Solid 1, and I've got the HD collection, so I've got to work through that. Once again, part of my backlog. But I do intend to get to 4, and I'm excited about the trophy patch for sure. It's really funny because I was talking about it with my fiance. I was telling her that the trophy patch was coming, and she actually took the game off my shelf and hid it from me, thinking that it was going to be like the very next game that I played. And so she's kept asking me about it. I'm like, why are you so interested in this trophy patch? She's like, oh, so you're not going to play it anytime soon? I was like, no, it's going to take me a little while to get to it. She's like, oh, well, then you better go get it out of, you know, wherever she hid it. She's like, because I'm going to forget it's there. And then whenever the time comes for you to actually play it, we're going to have no idea where the game went to.
See, that's the grounds for delivering those papers to her. You don't touch my Metal Gear.
Donnie, not everyone is courting mistresses like you are.
You got to deliver those papers, eh? See, that's the grounds for divorce right there.
Donnie, you're pretty schooled on what the trophies are, right? I heard that one of the trophies was to beat the game, like, being under a cardboard box for, like, the entire game. Is that...
No, that's not a trophy. Okay. Even though I have found some pretty interesting hidden trophies that I have got.
Wait, is there a trophy for going through the game without killing anybody? Is that called the Walker trophy?
That's Bit Boss.
Is that in every Metal Gear Solid game that has trophies?
Yep, I believe so. Well, I know 3 and now 4 now. And no, you know, I take that back. It's not Bit Boss Extreme does play where you can't kill anyone, but it is another emblem that you get for in part 4. Where if you go through it without killing anybody, it can be done. It's quite easy. What I'm doing right now, I'm going through the game not killing any bosses. Like, you know, the BB Corp, Beauty and the Beast Corp, don't kill them so I can get the dial. And when you first come in contact with Meryl and you got to fight the fraud troopers, don't kill any of those either, and you get their dial and you collect all 5 of the dials and you get the solar gun, which is like such an essential for Bit Boss Extreme mode. It don't take any bullets and it charges with the sunlight and all that stuff. It's cool. The hardest trophy that I'm telling you that I think is going to be is you have to collect, I think, every podcast song in the game, and which is, in order to get every song in a podcast game, you have to get every last emblem at the end of the game that they gives you. You have to get every last one of those to get one song, which is Snake Eater.
You know, so, Donnie, I feel if we let you go here, you could talk about Metal Gear Solid 4 trophies all day.
Yeah. I can for the rest of the show. Matter of fact, that's going to close.
You know what? Let's move on to our next topic, one of our last ones. We've all heard about the Universal Console before, and the latest person talking about it is Tekken producer Katsuhiro Harada. He talks about maybe did he think it'd be interesting if Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo got together to make one console. And for, you know, he talked about how for a long time those companies could kind of control the game industry and trends and the way people consume games, but now with browser games, smartphone games, they can't do that as much. So he talks about, you know, he brings back up to PlayStation Extreme the possibility of a one console future. And you know, I want to... All right, Donnie, we'll get to you, Donnie. Don't you hold that thought. Now, the one console future essentially would be good for gamers as I see it it'd be good. There'd be good and bad. On one side, you have you would be able to play Nintendo games, Microsoft games, and Sony games on one console. So all those games that are exclusive, you wouldn't have to, you know, worry about buying 3 consoles. You wouldn't have to worry about, oh, well, I want to play Super Smash Brothers, so I've got to get, you know, the Nintendo console, but I, you know, the PlayStation 3 is my main console, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, the competition between these companies is what drives innovation. And with that, and, you know, if there's only one console, these companies can basically say, all right, well, here's one console, and we're going to hike up the price, and we're going to keep it high, so you got to pay a lot for games, you got to pay a lot for that console. Whereas with 3 competitors starting to say, okay, how can we make our console more attractive? Well, we put better features in it, we make better games, we get better exclusives, and it, you know, we give them a good price for the entertainment value. So there's good and bad to the whole console, one console argument. Now, guys, what do you – I know I just went on a long time there, but what do you guys think about this? Donnie? All right, Donnie.
That is not a good idea, in my opinion.
And why not?
Because, first of all, they can't get along. Sony and bots. They just can't get along. They don't know how to. They don't know how to cooperate with each other.
Yeah, and they. I mean, they. Each company wants to make a lot of money, and they each think they have the best ideas and the best console. So yeah, you're right. It'd be very hard to get them to cooperate.
And then on top of that, every what you call it, an E3 show or every launch game, listen to this new exclusive. The new exclusive. You're gonna hear the word exclusives like everywhere. Duh. It's only one system.
And those press conferences would be unbearably long, like 6 hours.
Yes. The game, I don't think the actual system myself will be all that great because Nintendo has that, even though it's gearing more towards adults in certain games, but it still has that kid aspect as far as the way it looks in graphic-wise. So I don't think how that would go along with the whole thing. Only thing I could see myself, see it doing, like, you have to get so many different converters or patches to patch through. Like, okay, I'm about to play a station game, or what used to be a station game, I have to go through a Blu-ray patch.
Yeah, you couldn't play old games on the new console.
Yeah, the S-Box, I have to go through downgrading my Blu-ray now so I can play the S-Box. And, oh my gosh, switching over to the Wii part. What the heck can I convert to now?
Shiny, you seem pretty excited about this. What are your thoughts?
I think it would be weird, though, because if, as you said, the companies don't get along, and like to play the game, you'll have to play with each specific game. Like, hey, buy this Sony accessory, and buy this Microsoft accessory, and this Nintendo accessory. They'll just charge you over extra stuff.
Well, it'd just be like it is now, where they overcharge.
Yeah,
it
would just be now. That will happen. I imagine that.
All right, Rain, what about you? Any thoughts?
I don't know that we would ever see a one console system, just because of what you guys raised, the point that these companies don't really get along very well. Another issue that I see, Sony tends to be more of a hardware side, and their software basically comes obviously from companies that they've hired on to be, you know, first party designers, whatever. Microsoft, they're pretty good with the software side. But if it were to happen, I don't see it being a bad thing. I mean, because you would, like everybody pointed out, be able to play all of the games on one system. It you wouldn't have to worry about having, you know, a bunch of systems sitting on your entertainment center. And you'd also not have to worry about finding people to play with, you know, because everybody's on one system, you know. So it's not a question of, oh, well, I got this game on the Xbox. Oh, man, I got it on the PS3. We can't play together. It's more like everybody, as long as you got the game, you can all play it together. And that's kind of a good thing. Like, I don't see it being a bad thing at all if they were to go with that. I don't see it happening. But if they did, I don't see a real downside to it. You'd be able to get the best of all the games on one system. It just seems like it'd be all good.
Well, see,
if that were to happen.
So you say that, but then again, I go back to the whole thing where it's only one console, and they basically can keep the price as high as they want. They can charge anything for the games, because it's not like you can say, all right, well, Microsoft, your prices are too high, I'm going to go to Sony.
Because well, yeah, but
lolly lulay low.
But video games are a luxury. You know, I mean, if they decided they wanted to sell the new console for $1,500 and the games for $500 a game, I just flat out would stop gaming. You know, I'd go and spend some time outside and, you know, start playing Frisbee and crap, you know. So there's only a certain point to where they could do that, because, you know, video games, when it comes down to it, are just a luxury item. They're not required. You don't need it for survival. And I would only pay a certain amount of money to partake in that. You know, and so they'd have to take that into account. I mean, there's the supply and demand.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to charge $500 for a game, but I think they would, you know, raise the prices to more than they should. I don't think we'd see $60 games. I think you would see
80.
I think they would charge more for games, just because you would have no choice. And you know, people enjoy gaming so much that they would still pay that much money for games.
Nah, not necessarily now.
Well, okay, they can use GameFly and stuff like that, but there are people.
No, I'm not saying using a rental company, but there are people out there, Tricky, but that hike of gaming, the hike of gaming price, that $60 was like, man, what the heck, dude?
Well, games were expensive back even on like the Nintendo 64 and before that. I mean, they weren't cheap either.
Yeah, 30, 40, 50 at the most. And then, of course, you got the Gamers Collection or Collection Edition, Special Edition. I mean, you can just imagine, you know, like that $600 Resident Evil Collector's Edition thing. That's going to be like mandatory Special Edition prices now. Probably. You know what I'm saying?
The one thing is if these if this were ever to happen and then they did charge too much money, people would just say, okay, I'm just gonna go play games on my phone, or they'd go somewhere else. You know, they wouldn't necessarily have to stop playing games. They could just go get games from somewhere else, because there's
would
so
force
many
them to keep to be competitive. And then also, I think there would be, and I think this is gonna happen anyway, is you're gonna come to a point where you get a tiered gaming price. You know, some games aren't worth $60, and I think people are realizing that. And you're gonna have games, you know, these AAA blockbuster games that may pull a premium, you know, but then you're gonna have a lot of the middle of the road games that you know, I'm hoping it's gonna get to a point where games are priced for what they're worth, you know.
You know, the only game companies or only games that's really going to sell, even though a lot of people are doing this anyway, but I see it going like massive overhaul when people, Metal Gear is like, you know that's going to sell. Uncharted, you know that's going to sell. Only those games that people super really enjoy, not those okay games where it's worth playing, those are not going to get bought at all. Only games like Metal Gear, you know, the big.
Basically, what you're saying is the middle and the bottom drop out. And,
yes.
And only those big name games like the Call of Duty sell, and we get, you know, yeah.
Papo, you ain't gotta see no, you ain't seeing Papo, you ain't gonna see no, you ain't gonna see no, what's my favorite game, PSN game, is Shank. You ain't gonna see no more of that Shank. Well, for me, you will, if they happen
to. I mean, there'll still be smaller developers like Clay Entertainment, yep, who does Shank, and Minority, who does Papo and Yo, that can't afford to do those bigger games, so they can still release those. I think they would still be able to release those on consoles.
Yeah, just like you can still release them now, but a lot of people, you know, they're not going to sell as much as they're going to sell if they would sell nowadays if they was to come out with this one console, because people just going to be like, man, I'm not about to spend no dang on $50 for Shank and Papo. $60 for Shank, Papo. Walking Dead is like an excellent game, but they is not about to get $60 out of me.
I would.
No.
I'll say that now.
Nah.
You know what else you pay $60 for?
Yeah. I don't think that would happen. I really don't. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think that I think it would be competitively priced, and they would sell more games, you know, because you don't have to worry about, oh, well, this game, you're cutting out an entire console's worth of customers, you know, like with certain games you can only get on the PSN, you know, if there was only one console, everybody could get all the games, you know, and it wouldn't matter which system you had.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't see it as bad as you guys do. I mean, yeah, there may be some price fixing or whatever, but I think the customers would in the end, you know, speak with their wallets. And I just think, you know, it could be nothing but good for the gaming industry as a whole, as far as the software. Obviously, the hardware, you know, Sony's, you know, hardware or whatever would suffer depending on who made the console that ended up being the universal console. You know, but I mean, I think the gamers in general that would nothing but benefit from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, like, to Rain's point, I mean, Donnie and I are sitting here thinking of the worst case scenario where we get totally gypped out of money. But, you know, Rain is right. You know, we vote with our wallets, and, you know, if there's nobody willing to buy their games, then it's not going to do Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo wouldn't make any money. So it behooves them to keep them at a price that we're willing to pay for games. So, but at the same time, you know, we probably won't see this because we obviously probably won't see this because you get down to, okay, who makes the hardware, and then who gets the biggest cut of that, and you've got to split it up. And, I mean, there's a reason they're three separate companies. They don't work together. You know, they would have to meld and merge into one company, and we're just not going to see that.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's good. It's the Patriots. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of our topics this week. We actually, our main topics, but we do have one guest topic from Shiny. Shiny, do you want to lead this off in this discussion?
Maybe if we do. So, as the recent Best Buy sale, they had a gaming quote-unquote blowout, which now they're continuing on 2.0, which is due for August 12th through 18th. And then they got, like, a leaked ad, which is posted, they said, we were just taking off their site, which was supposed to be on August 12th, but on this, on the link, it's been posted. Okay, alright, crap.
What? No, that, you okay, this is ridiculous. I'm just looking at this now. This is wow.
Well, I mean, Shiny, is there anything you see on this list that, you know, that you actually, you're interested in?
Okay, I'll list the interesting stuff. For $15, I'll list the PS3 ones. You can get Darkness 2. For 10, you can get the first Infamous, which you like that. I Pit and Friends, Medieval Moves, Dead Men's Quest, Carnival Island, which you know someone will love that. MLB 11 The Show, Just Dance Kids 2, and my personal favorite, Beatles Rock Band, which you also can get Rage, Crisis 2, Skate 3, which is really good, Singularity, you'll love that, Never Dead.
Yeah, see, there's a whole bunch of games here, and I'm just not seeing much of interest. The two games that do look interesting, one of them I already own, Dead Space 2. If you don't have Dead Space 2, we'll go buy that. And Child of Eden as well. So it's there's not really a whole bunch of stuff here on this list that I see, but Shiny, obviously there's some stuff you've picked out that you really enjoy. I mean, like I said, I'm focusing on Darksiders 2 and Papo and Yo, but you know, if you see anything on this list, you know, definitely go check out your Best Buy here, oh, yeah. The 12th through the 18th.
Bulletstorm is also $5.
With the first sale they had, I picked up Assassin's Creed Revelations for $10, and I also picked up SOCOM 4 for $10. So I thought those were a pretty decent deal. They also had Deus Ex for $10, but unfortunately it was in store only, and Town of Roswell, New Mexico does not have a Best Buy. So therefore I forewent that deal. Looking at the new list, I know I'd like to pick up the Super Street Fighter 4 for the 3DS. For $10, I think, or $5, one of those.
$10. It's a good game, Donnie. Don't
do this. Donnie, you in the bathroom again?
All Street Fighters.
See, the thing about this is, doesn't Best Buy always do like a deal? Like Best Buy and Toys R Us seemed for a while there every year to do an annual buy two get one free sale around October.
They probably will. I'm sure that. Even GameStop does that kind of deal, well, at least on the used copies for a while, and Target too.
All right, Donnie, you got anything to add?
Well, even though it's a good game, but I'm not a huge fan of it, only thing I can see is this Darksiders 2 for $15. Like, that is like such.
It's Darkness 2.
Oh, it sure is. Well, nothing.
I will say that for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Wii, it says Rayman Origins for $10. And I've heard a lot of good things about that game.
Yeah, I already picked that one up. I got it for $19, and I felt that was a pretty good price. So $10, if you don't already have it, that's a really good price for a game that I've heard nothing but great about. Once again, still in my backlog, so I haven't tried it. But I felt comfortable spending $20 on it, so I'm sure $10 is even better.
And I also
for Donnie, all the usual games are $10.
Yeah. So if I was going to recommend any games off this list, I would say Kirby's Epic Yarn, which was very fun, I will say. Dead Space 2, and then Rayman Origins. So, guys, once again, the sale is getting this off cheapassgamer.com. The sale is at Best Buy the 12th through the 18th, so definitely go check it out and see if there's anything you guys want. All right, boys, that will bring us to the end of Trophy Horrors 81. Let's do a little house cleaning before we get out of here. Let's start off with, of course, as always, our sponsor. Now, Donnie, I know you know who we're sponsored by. Could you just remind the listeners and me? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Amazon!
Yes, Amazon, that's right. Whenever you go to provengamer.com, you'll see on the right side of the page a little link to Amazon. Now, we know that most people buy off Amazon. In fact, I would hope that all of you buy off Amazon because Amazon is awesome. And, you know, you can buy great stuff and they just ship it to you. They even give you free shipping on over $25, so why not use Amazon? Well, anyway, when you come to Proven Gamer, you just click that little link and then you do your shopping and you help us out. So we greatly appreciate any time you do that. Also, we are now on Stitcher. Yes, Stitcher Radio. And we have provided a little link for you all on the website. It's once again on the right side of the toolbar there, alongside right above the Amazon link. So, you know, you can check us out, you know, get us on iTunes, get us on provengear.com, or you can go to Stitcher. And what can you get on all those places? You can get here not only Trophy Whores, but also our other shows, which DCO Show, still very popular with Phil, Stash, and those guys. And, you know, I was going to mention PG Spoilers, but shit. I don't even know what was up with PG Spoilers. For all I know, it's been dead and buried. It's been, you know, under the ground. So, all right. Well, you can also find us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at Sondasaurus Rex. We have Donnie at Yuntwist. We also have at Shiny Milburns and at NM Rain. We also have, and if you want to harass Tricky, you know, at Tricky Mick, it's always fun to, you know, poke Tricky a little bit. You can also find us at Trophy Whores on Twitter. You can find the Trophy Whores Facebook page, the Proven Gamer Facebook page. There's a Proven Gamer Steam group, as well as a Proven Gamer YouTube page, official Proven Gamer. And if you like what you hear, guys, from the DCO Show and from Trophy Whores, please go onto iTunes, give us a rating, anything you want. Hopefully a 5, you know, because Donnie, you know, he's kind of soft, you know, and his feelings are hurt kind of easily. So if you give him a 1 or a 2, he might cry about it, you know.
Very sensitive.
Yeah. All right. Now, Donnie, we have a phone number that can people call into. What's that number?
You try these numbers, you know, in a combination form. It's 330-776-8369.
And Donnie, if I put if I change those numbers around, that's not going to give me the Proven Gamer number, right? We might end up calling some sex line, right? We don't want that again.
Yes, I didn't do it.
We can
so
blame
many times.
That was all on Tricky.
Called it so many times, but
you didn't call it so many times. What did your
he
wife...
didn't max out his credit card or
did
anything
your wife
like
did your wife find the bill?
Well, that's it's too long of a show. We got to end right now.
All right. Donnie, way to get out of that one, Donnie, you little sneak. All right, well, but to end up, guys, we're going to do our shout-outs. Donnie, you got any shout-outs for this week?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to the two guests, Shiny, Rain. Thanks for coming on. It's always fun working with you guys. Shiny, pineapples are, you know, a hoot to play with. Well, not play with, but eat.
You can play with
it, too.
Play
with pineapples.
Yeah,
use your imagination.
I don't want to play with your pineapples. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to all the listeners who continue to listen to the show, all the new listeners who continue to listen to the show, and continue to listen to the show and tell your friends about the show. Tell them to tell their friends, and tell them to tell their friends, and tell their mothers, and maybe one day I could probably meet your mom.
Once again, Donnie's accepting resumes from mistresses, so you know, there you go. If your mom is looking for a man, maybe Donnie can fill that void.
With the first sugar mama.
All right, Rain, do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, I'd like to shout out Proven Gamer for having me on the show. You guys are awesome. I always love being on the show. Anytime you guys need a host, I'm here for you. I'd like to shout out Shiny Milburns. He's a fun kid to follow on Twitter. Lots of pineapple talk, lots of back and forth. He's a hoot. And also I'd like to shout out joypadandme.com is the website that I write for. And we also just started a podcast, which I was actually recording before we started recording this. So I'd recommend you guys check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's basically three British guys and me talking. So you get to hear their sexy voices and my crappy New Mexico accent.
One of those doesn't fit.
Yeah, how was it? I tweeted. I was like, it's one American bloke and three British dudes. Kind of flipped around the term, but either way, just a great bunch of people. You can check it out at joypadandme.com. And either way, just thanks to you guys for having me on the show.
Awesome, Shiny.
The guys who y'all know with these names, it is ridiculous. I love to hear about your friends' names.
All right.
Oh, is that a Darth Nutclinch?
Yeah, that's one. That's like probably my favorite right now.
All right, Shiny, got some shout-outs for us?
I'd like to shout see you, Alex and Donnie, for having me on. Got it. Well, I would be on the show. And to NM Rain for getting probed every week and telling us about it. Or at least me imagining what happens. And shout out to pineapple gods for making good fruit.
The gods of pineapples.
We could not exist without the gods of pineapples. Thank you, guys.
It's a full day supply of vitamin C. Last time I grabbed a tub of pineapple juice, it says 100% juice, 110% vitamin C. Only pineapple juice can manage to have 110% vitamin C.
You know, if you've got 110% vitamin C, I think you're pretty much superhuman.
Yeah, I'm about to say, isn't that like a bad thing? You're overdosing, right?
That extra 10%, well, he's still here, so apparently not. So,
Rain, are you juicing over there?
Rain, hey, Rain, all you got to do is drink two of those cans, get 220%, and you could punch through tanks.
Punching through tanks with my full day and a half supply of vitamin C. Yeah.
Hey, they're not cans. They're paper bottles. It's good for the environment.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You can't have pineapple juice in a metal container, can you?
No, it'll taste bad. Only recycled materials.
Got that metallic taste to it. Nobody wants that.
Also, tweet Shiny if you have any questions about pineapples. Anything.
Shiny is your man. He's your go-to guy for pineapple talk.
Yeah. And hit me up on PSN, KidCan2007, if you want to co-op. 50 Cent blood in the sand with me. I'll take a request anytime.
All right, well, I'm going to throw some shout-outs here. I want to thank Donnie. Donnie, every week for coming on here and making this fun. Thank you very much. I want to thank our two guests, NM Rain and Shiny Milburns. Thank you guys for coming on and helping us out. We love having you guys on, and you're welcome back anytime. Shout out to I Yield to No One, who also is always helpful and always willing to come on. And, you know, dude's a hoot, so he brings it every time. So thank you to I Yield to No One. And some special shout outs to my co-host on The Floor is Lava, my new podcast coming out soon. My co-hosts Candace and Klaus, thank you guys for taking that journey with me every week. It's so much fun. And then, of course, shout out to Amanda, who, along with Candace, is one of the co-hosts of Life.exe, and three of the guys from WouldYouKindly.com, Sudo, Crash, and Klaus. Thank you guys, you know, just for bringing me on. And if you guys haven't listened to episode 225 of the Gamer's Garage, big announcement. I am now part of the Would You Kindly staff. I'm going to help them produce some podcasts. So we have decided to bring The Floor is Lava and Life.exe to WouldYouKindly.com. So in the future, that's where you can find those shows. And I will certainly tweet about it and, you know, tell you guys about it enough and just hammer it in your head that you'll hate me. So you can find Life.exe and The Floor is Lava, as well as the Gamer's Garage, on WouldYouKindly.com. So very soon those shows will be coming out, so look forward to those guys. All right, well, that will bring us to the end of another long yet successful episode of Trophy Horrors. Guys, thank you for sticking through all of it with us. We appreciate you guys every week, and we just hope you come back and enjoy it. You enjoy it so enough that you come back for more next week. So until next time, happy trophy hunting, guys.
Peace out.
You didn't mean to open yourself in the playback. Also, lead a five-star review. Tricky Alice, Donnie D, T, the crew still going strong. Proving Gamer.com. Visit the site, you might read something you like, and don't forget to click on the Amazon.